We're continuing our series, Have You Met Jesus? We're just going to go a little bit backwards in that scripture we had last week. We're going to go to the start of Mark chapter 7. So, would you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7? We're going to look at that passage. So as you come to open Mark chapter 7 and we get into what's going on in the scene there, we enter the scene at a point of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. Now we're going to hear a lot about the Pharisees this morning because of the passage that is before us. Let's listen to the words of Scripture. Mark chapter 7 verse 1 to 13. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Let me read that far. You'll find points coming up on the screen. I trust you will follow those points. And really what we're going to be looking at from the many things that could have been said on this passage this morning is how Jesus teaches us to be right with God. So if you've met Jesus, you'll come to know that he teaches us how to be right with God. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. There are many things we can look at. I'm sure we can discuss that if you'd want to. So two points really. The first one is going to be a bit long, and then the second point as we will close. Firstly, we look at the tradition of men is not worship to God. In history, we find man has formed many traditions. We have many societies of people believing things, many cults, many sects. We have many people believing, and you have people who don't believe. And there are traditions around what people believe and around what people don't believe. And what we come to see in this passage is that it is not the tradition of men that worships God. The tradition of men is not worship to God. And as you come to read the middle part of chapter 7 from verse 14 to verse 23, that will be explored, but that will be picked up in the sermon that will follow this one. Now look with me to verse 5, chapter 7, verse 5. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders?" That's a good question. Here are the traditions of men. Here are the traditions of the elders. Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with unclean hands? And so we've just read in verse 3 to 4 how the teachers of the law took the traditions of elders very seriously. And not only would they wash their hands, but they would have many other traditions around that in terms of being clean, in terms of not defiling themselves. And so they would wash even the cups and pitchers and kettles and the stuff that they would use to eat and cook and prepare their food with. And so we need to note a few things about the Pharisees. This wasn't for them just a cleanliness matter. It wasn't just issues of hygiene. The Pharisees saw this as the way in which they honor God. This was the way for them in which they would come to please God with what they were doing. This for them was a way of worship. And so they took the practices of the Old Testament. You wonder where they got this from. They had taken practices from the Old Testament, which were perhaps meant for the priests, and they had directly applied it to themselves, and they made a rule for others to follow this as well. They believed that it was a means to honor God. If you do this, then we are honoring God by what we are doing here. And you see, the problem of what they believe to be honoring God is exposed. God exposes it, and Jesus exposed it in verse 6 to 7. As I was right about you hypocrites when he prophesied, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. They're teaching about rules taught by men." That was the problem. They came doing everything that could be heard to be right, doing everything that could be seen to be right. But what they believed to be worshiping God was no worship at all. It was empty. What it could be compared to is having a bottle that is sparkling clean, but inside of that bottle is dirty, filthy, used oil. And so it was useless, their worship. While they were looking at the external unclean hands of men, here in this example, the disciples of Jesus, whose hands were unclean and eating, while they were saying, "You are defiling yourself by eating with unclean hands," God looked at them and He saw the internal filth. Do you get that? The unclean hearts. And again, that's going to be picked up in the next sermon, verses 14 to 23. But more on that later. Let's come back and focus on this. So for these Pharisees, eating certain foods, they had food laws, and even eating with unclean hands did not defile a person spiritually, which is what Jesus was saying in verses 18 to 23. But for the Pharisees, it was that they were defiling themselves. And again, they were reading stuff out of the Old Testament and directly applying it to themselves. On Friday at Young Adults, we looked at the passage in Jeremiah 29. Very popular passage that a lot of our prosperity teachers are teaching. "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you." And without understanding who God is speaking to, what He is speaking about, the context into which He is speaking, what that word prosper really means. And people draw these things out of Scripture saying, "This is what we must do. This is what I must believe." Well, if so, why don't you go to the passage in Isaiah that was read earlier and why don't you apply that to yourself? Woe to you. Why don't you apply that to yourself so directly? Well, it's because we are picking and choosing what we prefer, what we think of God, what we want God to be saying of us, what we are comfortable with. Well, here we see the Pharisees following the traditions of men. And Jesus says, "Listen, guys, your problem is really an internal problem. It's the problem of the heart. The traditions of men have been so heavily pushed upon people, which the teachers of the law follow and teach to others. These are traditions that they have made based on the law, which have eventually come to discard the law by their practice. These are traditions of men which have come and weighed so heavily and pushed upon people, the people of God, that it became more important than the command of God from which it was based." Look at verse 8. "You have let go of the commands of God, you are holding on to the traditions of men." And so, if we were to say, for example, "You shall not be naked," well, we need to make a law about this. How do we keep this law, "You shall not be naked"? What do you do then when you go into shower or bath? What do you do when you know, then you're going to start making rules around these things. So the Pharisees took the commandments of God and to really with good intention to help people understand and keep the commands of God, they started making laws around this. We've seen earlier on about the Sabbath, for example. And so there are all sorts of rules and laws that came about to try and help people to keep the commands of God. What actually happened then was that these things became more important than the actual command of God. Do you get that? Now we're going to get a bit practical there. Look at the church. You know, this morning I had changed so many sets of clothing because I was wanting to make a point by what I wore. Remember I spoke to you about a minister who went to a church and he wore his t-shirt and shorts and sandals. And really the people struggled to listen to him because of what he wore, because they had a rule that they had established which made it difficult for them to hear the word of God. I was gonna dress up in something, but again, speaking to my wife, she said probably won't be the best thing to do. But we have rules. I'm sure if I came dressed up in the way I was wanting to dress up, you would have struggled to listen to the word of God, because you would have been thinking about, what is Pastor John thinking? More than that, it may have become an issue later on, which wouldn't have been helpful for the church. But the question then, on a practical side, is this. We've got to be asking ourselves this question. What are the rules that I have made up around my understanding of Scripture, around my understanding of what it means to honor God? What are the rules I've made up? What are the laws that I've made up? Do you have ways that you have made up by which you believe you are honoring God when you do certain things or when you are not doing certain things? Have you become so religious that we follow traditions of men instead of following Christ? Do we follow Christian culture instead of purely worshipping God? Do you get the point? Bishop spoke about Bible study. Bishop spoke about home cell groups. We keep encouraging people to that. We speak about spending time with your family. Family Bible study and other things that we can do. These are but tools and implements. These are things that we use to encourage us in our worship, to build us up in our faith. But these are not rules. Some people feel very guilty when they cannot attend because they have an obligation like work, for example. Or because they're sick and they cannot get themselves out of bed. There are genuine cases there, but there are others who use that as excuses. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, very clearly says to us, do not give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing so. And if you go and read the following verses, not meeting together with the people of God is actually considered a sin. Why? Because you don't do it as a sign of what is there in your heart. Anyway, again, that's another sermon. But the point is this. Do we have ways that we have made which have become religion for us, which have become a tradition of man that is hindering our worship of God? Worship is a matter of the heart. Worship is in response of what God has done for us. We don't do worship in order that we may be right with God. That is religion. We do worship because God has made us right with Him. And we respond to Him in that way. And so here's the Pharisees. And here's the issue there with them. But we need to see something else about the Pharisees. We know that the Pharisees always oppose Jesus, don't we? And so in our minds, we always see them as the bad guys. And to a large degree, yes, they are the bad guys. But in that day, they were not viewed as the bad guys at all. In that day, the Pharisees were the good guys. The Pharisees were respectable. They were the ones that you went to if you had a question. They told people how to live. They explained what it meant to follow God. And so the Pharisees were considered as, if you'd like, Bible people of their time. They really wanted to please God. They had a zeal for that. And again, as we've looked at the example that Bishop is sharing with us from his series of preachings in Galatians, we looked at Paul's testimony. He was zealous. He was passionate about honoring God, about doing the things of God. To the point where he even went on persecuting and approving the persecution of Christians. So they had such zeal to honor God, to please God. And you see, the people would do what they say because they looked physically at the Pharisees and they saw everything right about these men, but they could not see into their heart where God saw. But because they saw what was right about these men, they followed everything that these men said. They were the ones who would teach people to take Scripture seriously, and they sought to teach that truth which they believed. And look at verse 3 again. It's not just the Pharisees, but it says the Pharisees and all the Jews. This was a practice that was accepted amongst the Jewish community. And so they taught the law of God and they explained that law to people. But they explained it with rules which they made around how to keep the law. And you see that if the Pharisees were sitting here today, they won't immediately recognize their actions as being religious. Or religion, or rejection of God. They would say that they take the Bible seriously. They take the law of God seriously to the point that they want to keep every letter of it. And you see, some of us here might be like the Pharisees. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. But I'm saying some of us here might be like the Pharisees. And this is not for us to look and think of someone else. I want us to look at ourselves. Am I like the Pharisee? Do I have rules and laws and ways in which I want to be? I think I'm honoring God by that. Maybe even your quiet time may become a religion to you. It's a good thing. It's a helpful thing. But we can become guilty around it when we skip it, isn't it? Because we've made it a law. If I haven't had my quiet time, then I'm not right with God. If I skip one moment of reading the scripture, then I've dishonored God. We make rules around this. We must be careful that we don't make rules around things which were meant to be helpful and make these things prescriptions from God. Reading your Bible is a good thing. Reading your Bible is a helpful thing, and I'll encourage each of us to do that. But when it is done religiously, it can cause us to read for the sake of reading and not for the sake of fellowship with God. Not for the sake of learning from God, from being fed from God's Word. Then we start reading for the wrong reason. Attending church, coming to Christian gatherings is a good thing. But when we do this religiously, then it may mean it becomes another appointment, another tradition, something else that we want to follow because it fits in with a certain culture. I hope you're getting the point of what we're trying to say this morning. And so the Pharisees, having come to the conclusion that they are doing things right, that they are doing things in a biblical way, in a way that is honoring God, they come and meet Jesus and his disciples who don't seem to be honoring God because they're not following the traditions of men. We've seen that in verse 2. Now you have rules for yourself. We all have rules. We have rules around how we worship God. And I want to ask us the question, something for us to think about, is sometimes this is how we think about people, that they're not honoring God because they don't do things our way. They're not following our rules. Is this how we think at times when people don't do things our way or because it's always been done this way? Do you accuse people of being ungodly when they're not religious in the way that you prescribe? I want us to think about this seriously. Are we perhaps making rules which actually cause people not to worship God and become religious and think that they're worshiping God by following certain rules and traditions? I'm not throwing out tradition. I'm not throwing out rules. But we're looking at the intent and the purpose behind following these. Jesus replies in a wonderful way, doesn't he? Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We've been singing so many songs. We're going to keep singing songs. But so easy to come in this fellowship, to look all Christian, and when the songs are being sung, to mouth these words off, and yet none of it comes from our heart. None of it comes from a conviction and an understanding of what we're singing, who we're singing about, and the truths of the words that we are singing. These people honor me with their lips. We can say Christian things, but none of these are actually what we truly and honestly believe and live by. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by men. You see, on the outside, these Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're a model of what it means to be godly, really. One might think that their hearts are clean because their hands are clean. They say the right things, they seem to do the right things, and yet, despite all of that, God says their hearts are far from me. And because their hearts are far from me, look at their worship. Their worship is in vain. Because why? It's based on the rules that are taught by men. Rules that are taught by men. Their outward appearance counts for nothing. In fact, their hearts are far from God. A true worshipper of Jesus Christ, friends, can be identified by their obedience to Him, out of their love for Him, which displays itself in good deeds, a good testimony which bears the evidence of the Holy Spirit that is in them. You get that? That is how we are to be living. And here we see an example of how we might be deceiving ourselves by engaging in the religion of Christianity, by engaging in the culture of Christianity, by engaging in the tradition of Christianity, thinking we are Christians. And there is no true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said to them, you've let go of the commands of God and you're holding on to the traditions of men. The very acts that the Pharisees are doing, which seems to be bringing them closer to God, which seems to be making them right with God, these very acts are really a rejection of God. It's a rejection of the Word of God and the commands of God because they want to live according to the traditions that they have drawn up. Their traditions replace the commands of God. Look at verse 9. He said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. And he gives them an example. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might have otherwise received from me is coven, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. Jesus uses the example of coven. Do you know how it works? The coven rule is found in Numbers. And this is how it works. Let's say that a man has 1,000 rand which he's going to give to look after his parents. Yes, a noble thing, it's a good thing. But maybe before he does that, his parents are still well and they seem to be doing okay. This man then makes a vow that this money is coven. That is, that this money is reserved for a spiritual purpose. This money, I'm going to be giving it to the Lord. Therefore, it cannot be used to support his parents. Because it is coven. Which means that it is a gift that is devoted to the Lord. Let's say a man does that, he makes a vow. Now if you're with us in our studies through Judges, you'll know how serious making a vow to the Lord is, that we are to keep those vows. And so the Pharisees come up here now, and there's a law, there's a rule that is made up. So should the man realize his mistake, the scribes, the teachers of the law, these Pharisees, and they come out quickly to point that, listen, you've made a vow. It is wrong to dishonor this vow that you have made to God. You should not break the vow. And so they force the person, by the rules of the tradition that they have made up, to prohibit this person from giving the 1,000 rand to their parents who may then be in need of it. And by that way, the traditions that they have, the traditions that prohibit a man from giving what is due to his parents, they actually go against the original law of God, which was to honor your father and your mother, which takes precedent over the rule of Corban. Do you get that? So they made rules in that way, which went against the commands of God, which is what they were primarily meant to keep. You see, if you read on there in Numbers 30, I think it is, verses 1 and 2, that is very clearly stated. But if you read the rest of Numbers chapter 30 from verse 3 onwards, you'll come to see that God has allowed for them to go against the vow if they are going to be honoring their parents, which is what God actually wants them to do. So it was more important for them to honor their mother and father than to follow the law of Corban. The Pharisees turned it around. Well, you see what happens when they give this law of Corban, that money would be going to the temple. And so the Pharisees would have benefited from that. So it became, in another way, a selfish thing. And so they nullify the word of God. What they're actually doing, friends, which is what I want us to think about, is they are picking and choosing the commands of God. They are picking and choosing words from God. They are picking and choosing truths which would suit them as they reject and deny other commands and truths from God. This is where it becomes practical to us again. They use one part of Scripture to conveniently escape the responsibility from another part of Scripture to render useless that part of Scripture which they refuse. In the instruction of making a vow to God, a parent can override the decision of a child, and the child is meant to honor the parent, and in so doing honor God. And God will not hold it against the child. The Pharisees knew that. But they twist the word of God. They make it ineffective. They give a rule which ultimately ends up in this person disobeying God. And the attempt to follow tradition, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees actually go on to enforce the breaking of law. And therefore, verse 7, God says to them, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. I hope you see the first point then, in that the traditions of men is not worship. And I want us to think through that. And we're going to close with the second point, that true worship is a matter of loving God, heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you think that you're here to worship God, but actually you're engaging in religion or tradition or just doing Christian culture, then, friends, you are actually no friend of God, if that's what you're doing. You're actually rejecting God. You're rejecting His Word. And if that's what you're doing, then you're an enemy of God. You're seeking to please your own conscience, to fulfill tradition, to meet a desire in your own heart to satisfy you that you're doing everything that needs to be done. Then that's all about you, you see. Whereas true worship of God is all about God. There are some of us here, some of you here, who may be so far down the route of the Pharisees that you may not even be able to see that this is what I'm doing. That they're so convinced that what they're doing right with God, what they're doing right to be right with God, because perhaps they've seen it on TV. Maybe a Christian channel, someone was speaking on the radio. Perhaps it's a book that they have read, or other places that tell them what to do, what not to do to be right with God, whereas they lost a personal relationship with Christ. Let me make an example. Some of you might be struggling with your quiet time, and it's good to seek to read your Bible regularly, and again I encourage you to do that, but it can become a law, it can become a source of guilt, and ultimately it can become a way of denying the Word of God. Because you read the Bible every morning for reading's sake, and you don't hear what it says, because you make sure you've fulfilled your duty, but you've had no fellowship with Christ. Do you hear? Do you obey the Word of God? Do you just tick it off every morning that you've done the right thing? You see, you could do that and externally it looks good. Now let's be practical. You may be reading your Bible, but you haven't really listened to it. Because after months, perhaps after years of reading the Bible every day, it's made no difference in your life. There's been no teaching, there's been no rebuke, there's been no correction, there's been no training in righteousness. Your life is still the same. And therefore Jesus summed up the commandments of God in Mark chapter 12, verse 19 to 31. Turn with me there quickly, just a few pages over. Mark 12, verse 19 to 31. When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And really, this is what the Pharisees should be doing. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's what we should be doing. And that will naturally flow out into the second command, which is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing greater than this, friend. There's nothing greater than this. You see what the Pharisees have done in verse 8. They have let go of the command of God. They have not been loving God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They've been following tradition. And in that way, they were not able to love others as much as they love themselves. How will we know those who are true worshippers of Jesus? Those who love Him. In John 14, Jesus said that those who love God obey His command. So the question must be asked then as we close. Why do you read your Bible on a practical level now? Why do you come to church or go to home cell groups or go to Bible study or do all of the Christian things that you do? Why do you pray? Are these things for the sake of tradition or because this is what the pastor says you might do? Or are you doing this as a response of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus? Are you doing this for fellowship with the Lord? Are you doing this because you love Him? You want to spend time with Him? You want to hear Him speak to you and change and transform your life into the likeness of Christ? Are you a true worshiper in spirit rather than in just physical external outworkings? Are you a true worshiper in truth in that you follow the Word of God? Someone who worships God will be a worshiper in spirit and in truth. So going through the motions may look so good on the outside, yet God wants a heart that is in it. Doing Christian things, doing religious things may look so good, but it could be a way of getting people off your back and a way of you never ever coming to humbly submit to God. Going through the motions can just be religion, and religion is rejection of God. Before we go too far the other way, some of you may be thinking, what are you saying? Does that mean I don't have to come to church because, you know, it could be religion? Does it mean I don't have to read my Bible? What are you saying? Well, before we go too far the other way, we're not saying don't read your Bible. We're not saying don't pray. We're not saying don't go to Christian gatherings and church and so on. That's not what we're saying. Here's the point. Is that we all have rules by which we live. We cannot escape those rules, but we can do away with some of those. It could actually be that our rules are there for our convenience. What we need to do is look beyond those rules and examine our hearts, which is what Jesus will do for us there in verse 14 to 23. Examine our hearts. Are your rules a way of rejecting God rather than loving Him? Are your rules a way of you being convenient in religion and pleasing your conscience? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase, so that the righteousness of God, friends, may be tested? Bow your heads with me as we come to pray. Will you, friends, repent from your ways, from your traditions that you have made up or that you are following in order for you to be right with God? See, God has provided a way to be right with Him, and that way which He has provided is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God said that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. We are to be believers of Jesus. We are to be worshipping Him from our heart. And if you're not doing that, and if you are depending on traditions and religious things, then friends, most probably you are not right with God. You need to repent from those traditions and religions and come to be right with God. If you are at a place where you are judging others because of traditions and religions, you need to repent of that. Ask God for forgiveness, because we don't know the heart of man. And so it is upon us to examine our hearts, to ask God to change our hearts if we are not right with Him, so that we may be right with Him because of Jesus. Ask God to draw us to worship and not to religion. Ask God to help us to love Him with all our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of the strength that He has given us. Our Father, we thank You that it is by grace that we have been saved, not by our works, so that none of us can boast. Oh Lord, how often when we come into faith in Jesus Christ and we join the church, we get drawn into religion and practices of a church. And by following those things, we delude ourselves thinking we are right with you by those things. Or we believe that we are honoring you by doing those things. Help us not to trust in the traditions of men, as we've seen from the example of the Pharisees. But help us to obediently love you, obeying your word, and honoring you with all of our being. Amen.